Every day for a period of a little more than 7 months beginning in 2016, the Philippine Daily Inquirer maintained what it called the kill list. It was a public record of the dead, fed by reports from correspondents across the country. The circumstances of death were brief. The entries were numbered and chronological. The locations were limited to towns, cities, and provinces without the specificity of street addresses. Names were recorded when they were available. Numbers were used when they were not. The first unidentified suspected drug pusher, for example, was killed on July 1st, the first day of Rodrigo Duterte's administration, the same morning that Jimmy Reformado, fifth most wanted drug pusher in the city of Chaoong, was shot by unknown hitmen. The next day, July 2nd, Victorio Abutal, the most wanted drug pusher in the town of Lukban, was killed by unknown hitmen in front of his wife. An hour and 10 minutes before the death of Marvin Cuadra, second most wanted, less than 14 hours before the seventh most wanted, Constancio Vorps, was killed at close range outside a lottery betting station. A day later, on July 3rd, Arnel Capacaspan, the most wanted drug pusher of San Antonio, was killed by unknown hitmen who barged into his house at exactly the same time that Orlan Antalan, 10th most wanted in Dolores, was found dead in a spillway, body laden with bullet holes. Unknown hitmen was a common phrase, but it was the nature of their victims. Suspected drug pusher, suspected drug dealer, at large on drug charges, on the local drug list, most wanted, that demonstrated that what was recurring was far from random. These were targeted killings, as President Duterte had promised, directed against people who would threaten to destroy my country. The methods were limited only by the killer's imaginations. There was the man found dead after being abducted from his house. There were the three found dead in a canal, blinded and hogtied. There was the man shot in the head in his bedroom, and the man killed at 7 in the morning in front of his daughter's elementary school. The daily death toll sometimes rose to double digits, as it did on July 9th, beginning at midnight with a suspected drug dealer's aide named Danilo Inopia Morsaquillo, who was shot as he slept beside his girlfriend. The 12 other deaths that day varied in means and disposition. One, a former overseas worker, was shot as he drove down the highway. Two were found strangled under cardboard boxes with signs calling them criminals. Three others were found dead with gunshot wounds to the head and mouths covered with packing tape. The rest were drug suspects, killed by unknown hitmen. None of these deaths were officially at the hands of the police. If the government was to be believed, these killings had been committed by private citizens and members of drug cartels, some of whom used the war as a cover to silence possible informants. The constancy and sheer velocity required its own nomenclature. There were drug-related deaths. They were illegal killings. They were targeted assassinations, salvagings, body dumps, drive-by shootings. They were casualties in the Duterte administration's war on crime. Or, as the news network ABS-CBN would put it, those who perished. Even Philippine officials seemed unable to agree on the terminology. One senator called them summary killings. The Interior Secretary called them alleged vigilante-style killings of drug personalities. There is language for this phenomenon. The term is extrajudicial killings. It was a single phrase that became commonplace on the street and on television, so common that a Senate resolution called for sessions investigating the recent rampant extrajudicial killings and summary executions of criminals. The repetition forced a shorthand, EJK. The press used it as a qualifier. The victims' families used it as a verb. The critics used it as an accusation. From the beginning of the Duterte era, recording these deaths became my job. As a field correspondent for Rappler in Manila, I was one of the reporters covering the results of the president's pledge to destroy anyone without charge or trial whom he or the police or any of a number of vigilantes suspected of taking or selling drugs. The volume of Duterte's dead was at times overwhelming, as was covering the powerful in a country where the powerful refused to be held to account.